The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the time arrived for Elizabeth to have her child, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy toward her, and they rejoiced with her. When they came on the eighth day to circumcise the child, they were going to call him Zechariah, after his father. But his mother said in reply, "No, he will be called John." But they answered her, "There is no one among your relatives who has this name." So they made signs, asking his father what he wished him to be called. He asked for a tablet and wrote, "John is his name." And all were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened, his tongue freed, and he spoke, blessing God. Then fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these matters were discussed throughout the hill country of Judea. All who heard these things took them to heart, saying, "What then will this child be? For surely the hand of the Lord was with him." The child grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert until the day of his manifestation to Israel. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. You ever want to do something really amusing, just for fun? If you have a couple free minutes, go to Google, okay? And do an image search for the following words. "You had one job." What comes up is really funny. It's really like people that mess up the most basic projects. Like, for example, there was a stop sign and the guy misspelled the word stop. Or like somebody painted a fire lane on the street and they misspelled the word fire. I think my favorite one of them all is somebody was supposed to make a sign that said "drug-free school zone," but instead it said "school-free drug zone." You had one job, right? If ever there was a saint in all the history of the church who had one job, it would have to be John the Baptist, whose feast day we celebrate today. John the Baptist did one and only one thing. He pointed the way to Jesus Christ. That was his power. And what I'd ask you to think about here this morning is that for you and me, that's our power too. It's the power of everything John the Baptist did. He couldn't care a lick what you thought of him. And you could tell it in everything that he did. You know how John the Baptist dressed? He wore a cloak made out of camel's hair and tied at the waist by a rope, and his food was locusts and wild honey. And the people came out to speak to him, and he would turn to them with a jaundiced eye and say, "You brood of vipers, who told you to flee from the wrath that is to come?" Not exactly words of somebody who's trying to curry someone's favor. But he couldn't care less about currying anybody's favor. He had one job. He was going to point the way to Jesus Christ. And that was the secret of his power and his effectiveness. Jesus showed up on the scene. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." Not, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And you really should listen to him because, you know, he can give you a really fulfilling life. Right? Or how about, "Behold, the Lamb of God who can make you the best version of yourself." No. "The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." In other words, your soul is broken. And you can't fix it. But he can. "Behold, the one who takes away the sins of the world." That was the secret to his power. And that is the secret to our effectiveness for helping one another as well. Do you or do you not, with your life, point the way to Jesus Christ? You can do a little examination of conscience. Anytime you get a couple free minutes, that can help you to know whether you do or not. Just ask yourself this question. Across the course of a day, what predominates in my thoughts? Across the course of a day, what predominates in my conversation? So when I have the chance to speak about something that really matters to me, what do I talk about? What do I think about? You know what that will do?
That will reveal to you who or what it is that you love. Because we always point the way to whatever it is that we love. Go on a vacation maybe sometime this summer, see a magnificent vista, a beautiful valley, and what do you say? Hey everybody, look, look, and you point the way to something that's good. You know, family has a newborn baby, someone comes over to the house to visit, what does everybody say? They say, look, 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 and they point the way to whatever is good. That is what we need to do as well. It's the litmus test, really, of do you or do you not love the Lord. It's the reason why so much of the church is so feeble these days. So we've forgotten our basic mission, to point the way to Jesus Christ. In the church, we have many beautiful, powerful, and good teachings. But why do we have them? Because they point the way to Jesus Christ. It's the only reason that they matter. In the church, we have a beautiful culture. We have a beautiful music. We have beautiful intellectual tradition, beautiful art, like architecture and stained glass. Why do we have it? Why do we have it? Because it points the way to Jesus Christ. That's the only reason why it matters. Down through the history of the church, we have saints, so many great saints. And you listen to them, they will never point the way to themselves. They're never like, hey everybody, wouldn't you like to be great like me? In one form or another, they all imitate the one job that John the Baptist had. They all say in some form or another, he must increase and I must decrease. Either you point the way or you're in the way, right? So you better get out of the way. He must increase and I must decrease. It's about the most succinct expression of the gospel that you'll ever hear. And so on this feast of John the Baptist, for our good, for the good of those we love, and for the praise and glory of God the Father, let's make his words our own and ask for his prayers to help us today. Saint John the Baptist, pray for us.